Okay, the title of my sermon this morning is, Where Are You? God asked Adam that. And so I'm looking out in the congregation and I can say, Jesse, where are you? Oh, I see you over there. Birthday boy, happy birthday. Coming up, is it today? All right, happy birthday, Jesse. It's also, is it Karen's birthday today? Wow. But she's not here, so just remember her. Her and Mike are traveling. Anyway, we're going to look at a few scriptures today, and I think that they will relate to where are you? Where are we? Where am I? Go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 27 for a second. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created everything in it. And at the very end, he created us, man. And we were, in a sense, the highlight of the creation. And it was a wonderful thing, because here we are. And then in Genesis chapter 31, what did God say? Or chapter 1, verse 31, says, God saw all that he had made, and it was what? Very good. Not just good. Throughout in other portions of this first chapter, says, and he looked at it and it was good. You know, he looked at the sun and the moon and it was good. But when he got to the very end, he looked at it all and he says, this is very good. Wow. And you think about that. You think about the creation that we look at. And it is a beautiful thing to get out in and just to be able to be alive and all the things that are out there to take care of us and meet our needs. Wow. And then we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will die. Okay? Interesting. So God and man, at this time, they had perfect fellowship. There was just this good relationship between them. Now, we don't know a lot about it, but I speculate that it was a good, wholesome, beautiful relationship between God and man at this time. Okay? And then God said, it's not good for man to be alone, so he created the woman and gave him to man to be a partnership. And what a wonderful thing that is. Wow. I sure appreciate it. Then we get into Genesis chapter 3, and we see a change in things. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And then do you know what she did? She gave some to her husband. And you know what he did? He ate of it too. Wow. Okay. And so sin or rebellion came into the world. They were told, hey, you know what? Just don't do this one thing. Don't eat of the tree. This tree here. You can have every other tree. Is that Kathy? Kathy, come on up. Throw it up against the wall, Dave. Okay. All right, so you've got this point now where they rebel. They do what they're not supposed to do, you know? And you think, oh, is that a big deal? Yeah, it was. It broke that fellowship, that perfect fellowship that they had, okay? And so what happened? In verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You know, they, what? I don't know what exactly it was like before sin came into the world, before they rebelled against God. But all of a sudden they realized, hey, there's something different here. We don't have any clothes on, you know, which wasn't any big deal to them at the time. But anyway, they sewed these fig leaves together. And then the man and his wife, verse 8, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what's that mean? Why did they hide from God? Well, because they felt guilty, okay? They think, oh, we've blown it. Like, when we do bad things in our lives against somebody or something, we don't want to admit it a lot of times. Like, if we mess up with somebody, we want to maybe stay away from them and not be confronted by them, not have to answer questions. Well, the man and his wife hid from God. Okay? So then God came in, the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Just like Jesse hiding back there in the back row. Do I know where Jesse is? Or any of you other guys, Dave or Bob? I know where you guys are at. So when I say, where are you? What am I asking? God, what was God asking him? Where are you now? What's happening in your life? And that's a, what do you call that, a rhetorical type question? Or a question that we need to look within ourselves and see, where am I now? And now they'd broken fellowship with God and things were getting messy, okay? And when we read through Genesis, we see all the messiness that came in. And in fact, it got so messy at one point that it says that man, all man did was just continually sin before God. And so God says, I'm tired of this. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm just going to clean it out and be done with it all. But what? Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And so God took Noah, and Noah built the ark. And we look at that and we think, wow, God preserved humanity through Noah and his family. They built that ark and in a sense they were saved from the deluge that came. And everybody else was wiped out. And it's an interesting thought and interesting fact. Anyway, you know, you think that's what happened because of sin. Sin was so bad. And so then God worked in the lives of people as the population grew, and he gave us the law, okay? He gave us a law to follow. He chose the Jewish people, and through them, he gave the law, okay? You guys all have the Ten Commandments memorized? Who can say the first one? 20 points. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have any other gods before me. Okay? Have no other gods. What's the second one? You guys should have had this memorized when you were, what, in Sunday school 30, 40, 50, 80 years ago. You know? Yeah, make no idols. And the Ten Commandments, okay, that we say, hey, they're pretty important. And they are. A lot of our civilization is based on these laws, on this moral law that comes from the Scripture. Don't misuse God's name. The fourth one is observe the Sabbath. The fifth one, honor your father and your mother. Good common sense type stuff. Six is do not murder. Seven, don't commit adultery. Eight, don't steal. Nine, don't bear false witness. And 10, don't covet. Okay? Did these help man? Yeah, sorta. But you know what? In the end, We've broken them all, okay, as men. We haven't kept any of them. And then they have these Ten Commandments, and then the law, through the law, there were like 613 other laws that we were supposed to follow, and we broke them all. And we murdered the prophets and so on and so forth, it says. We just didn't keep the things that we should to have a right relationship with God. Okay? So, what does that mean? Well, it means that humanity is messed up. Okay? It's broken. And that's sort of a terrible thing. Okay? Well, do you know where you find the Ten Commandments? You find it in a couple different places. Exodus chapter 20, 2 through 17, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 and following. Two sections there where it's at. It was important, okay? So you guys can go back and memorize it for next week, okay? Yeah, pretty simple, pretty easy. But unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, what we know the principles, okay? We know that there's only one God. And we're supposed to honor him. We're not supposed to take his name in vain. We're not supposed to make idols. Do we do that? Well, we shouldn't. But, you know, some of the times things get very, very important in our lives, like cars and boats and planes and houses and so on and so forth. Are those idols? Well, they can be when they become more important than God. Okay? And to have no other gods. Well, a lot of people have no God. They reject the thought of God. They want nothing to do with him. Okay? And in fact, some people maybe know there's a God, but they hate him. Okay? They're God haters. Wow. What a concept. Okay, so did the law help us? Well, probably marginally so, you know. It helps us to have these principles that we're supposed to follow, and some of us sort of follow them, but all of us are still sinners, okay? We're all messed up, okay? Where are we? Well, we need to think about that on a regular basis. Where am I? What am I doing? What the heck, you know? Some of the times I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. In fact, oftentimes, you know, as I think about it, as I look deeply into my relationship with God. So go to Romans chapter 1, if you will. And we'll look at some things here. Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at 18, a few verses here in Romans chapter 1. Sort of like, where are we? Where is mankind? Well, here's some of where man is. It says, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Okay? It says, men know about God. There's this inner knowledge that almost everybody has that where did we come from? We didn't just come out of the pit. And that's what they say today in secular society. We came from slime or whatever. You know, they make up all these things. And you know what? I don't believe it. I believe God made us, okay? That we are created in God's image. Because you look at us and, doggone, we're pretty unique. We're the highlight of God's creation. We were created in his image, okay? But anyway, a lot of people don't believe in him, don't want to. And the truth is there, but they have to just almost physically hold it down, suppress it, hold it down, not let it just pop out, because otherwise it would pop out. The truth is all around us. Okay, verse 21, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Okay, think about what we gather up and collect in our lives throughout the world. You know, people build monuments to themselves and buildings and collect all this stuff that, you know what, we don't take any of it with us when we die. I've seen people try and do that, where they take, over in the Philippines, I watched this funeral procession where they had these professional mourners coming along behind the hearse, crying and wailing. They hire these people to do this. And then they get to the cemetery, and they take the guy's car and his favorite chair, and they take money and put it, and they burn it to send it up to heaven so that the guy can have it with him. And then they have these tombs where they bring food to it all the time, thinking there'll be food there when the guy comes back. I mean, it's really weird. And some of them have in the same tomb Christianity and Buddhist stuff and Muslim stuff, all within the same tomb for the guy, because they want to be covered, okay? Because they know there's something else, but they really haven't looked into it. They don't know exactly what it is, but they want to be covered just in case, okay? Anyway, that's what we do. Go over to verse 28, 128. It says, "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what not ought to be done." To do what ought not to be done. Okay? Go ahead and do it if you want, he said. God let man do what he wanted to do. And some of these things ought not to be done. Okay? You guys understand that? "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them." Now, think about that. I saw that in the military. You know, these guys going out and doing things, and everybody's, yeah, go do it. That's great. Shouldn't be done, but they were out doing it, and everybody else, yeah, go ahead and do it. Sounds just like the office, somebody said. Hey, that's the way it is at my office. You know, we've got these people who, they're God-haters, they're insolent, they're arrogant, boastful. They invent new ways of doing evil, and they're proud of it. That's what the world is, okay? Because the world really doesn't like God, and it doesn't like having him as an authority. Okay, does that make sense? What do you guys think? Is that true? Well, here it is in black and white, okay? And that's what God says about mankind and what man has become, okay? And then we go over and we look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves," and so on and so forth, down through verse 18. Verse 18 says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's mankind. Okay, you think, I'm not like that. Well, think about it, you know. That's all of us. You think, oh, it's not me, it's everybody else. No, we're all like that. We said, no, I'm not really like that. Well, we were, okay, in God's sight. But we're going to get to some good news here pretty quick. Look at Romans chapter 8, 6 through 8. I just want to build the case at how bad we are. Because a lot of times we don't think, oh, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. Don't call me a sinner. You know, that's your standards. Well, this is God's word. This is God's standard, okay? Keep going, Kathy. All right, Romans chapter 8, 6 through 8. It says, I'll read part of it. The mind of sinful man is death. But, and then I'm going to stop there and go down to verse 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Okay? The sinful nature can't please God. It's a terrible thing. Okay? So where are we at? Well, that's where we're at. We're sinful, wicked, messed up creatures. Okay? But go to Ephesians chapter 2, okay? I got to get to the right place myself. I have these marked, but I think some of my markers got... Yeah, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we're going to get into some good news here real quick, okay? It says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sin. Now, this is talking about us, I guess, in a sense, in our former nature. Former nature. The way we were. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. You think, well, I wasn't that bad. I was okay. I was a good kid. I didn't lie, cheat, steal, smoke, drink, all those things. But you know what? I was still a sinner, okay? And God looks at us that you're sinners, every one of you, okay? Okay? So, it says, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The spirit of the world is really at work in the world. And if you don't think so, just look at the newspaper or read the internet or see what's on the movies, see the news, and you see the murdering, the lying, the cheating, terrible things out there. The child abuse, the slavery that goes on, some really crummy things. I hear things, I think, how could that be? I don't understand how sinful people can be. And yet, it's out there. Things that I get a glimpse of it and I can't believe it. But, down in verse 4, it says, but, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, or show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. But God, you know, we look at what's going on in the world, what we were, okay? But it says, but God reached down and grabbed a hold of us, and he's lifted us out. He's drug us to himself and saved us from all that evil and wickedness, okay? Yeah, because of the great love for us, it says in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, God, he's rich in mercy. Wow. Do we have mercy? Yeah, some of us do. But God has so much mercy we can't even comprehend how wonderful and how merciful he is, because we are depraved people. But God loves us. And he made us alive in Christ when we were dead. We were dead in our transgressions. We were dead to him. But he raised us up to be with Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Well, here we are at Banks Lake Bible Church. Are we with him? Yeah, we are. Positionally, we're with him in heaven, you know, in a sense. That's what God sees. He sees us covered in Christ, covered with Christ's blood. And he sees us with Christ in his glory, okay? We have the guarantee, we have the promise that we're going to be with him in glory. I mean, wow, I can't hardly wait. Doggone it. But come quickly, Lord. I want to see it soon, okay? Okay, and he says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. We're in what age are we in now? We're in the age of grace right now. God has what? Allowed us as Gentiles to come into the kingdom. Before, it was the age of the law, and it was just more or less just the Jewish people who knew and honored God and who did their temple worship and things like that. The Gentiles were excluded. We were sort of like the dogs on the outskirts. There was no place for us. But God, in his wisdom, brought us into the kingdom now because Jesus came. God became a man, and he died for our sins. He took the things, the wickedness in us, and put it on Christ. And now we have forgiveness of sins. Jesus died for our sins, and then he rose again from the dead. Okay? That's a wonderful thought. Okay? So, I'm looking at the time. I want to let you guys out early. Okay? So, anyway, we've got a couple other things to do. Turn to John chapter 5. You know, again, think about that. Where are you? Well, we were like in the former times. We were hostile to God, separated from him, no thought of God in our lives. We were sinners and we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Even though, I'm a pretty good guy. In God's sight, we were dead. We were dead to him. Okay? But now, since Christ came, died for our sins, and then rose from the dead, he's called on us to believe that he exists, okay? That's the cry throughout the Bible. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We look at these kings that we've been studying in Sunday school, and we had some really good kings, and we had some really bad kings, okay? Some of them really believed in God, and they were good kings, and they followed God, okay? Because they believed in him. And that's the thing, you know? What do we need to do to be saved? Do we have to hold our mouth just right or be able to stand on our head for so long? Or be able to jump so high or run so fast? Or be able to recite so much in the Bible? What do we need to do? The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Believe, that's it? That's plenty, okay? That's hard enough to believe in who he is, okay? And it's nothing that we do. We're saved simply by his grace because he loved us. And that's it. Saved by grace, okay? Nothing we can do to earn our salvation. You know, build buildings or cities or ships or go out and feed the world. Wow, that's great. But God wants us to believe in him. Believe in Jesus, okay? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Okay? The life is in his Son. And we believe in him. When we seek him out, he comes into us and abides or dwells in us, and we dwell in him. And we have that relationship. And that's something that, where are we? Well, we need to be thinking about that, okay? Every once in a while at least, but more often than not, thinking about where we are. Thank God we're not dead in our trespasses and sins anymore. Thank God that we have Christ dwelling in us. We have eternal life that God has given us. The life is in the Son, and we are in the Son. We have eternal life, okay? And then go over to chapter 5, verses 18, and listen to this. It says, we know. What does know mean? Well, we understand, and we have an assurity. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. So anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Hey, we still blow it once in a while, but it's not a continuous thing. We're not always heading for sin and doing these crummy things continuously like the rest of the world. We've turned and we're heading toward God. Sure, we blow it some, but it says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. But anyway, anyone born of God does not continue to sin, okay? Jesus keeps us safe. And then in verse 19, it says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Think about that. We are children of God. The world is under the control of the evil one, okay? But we're not. We're under God's control. He has us in his hand and protects us and keeps the evil one from us. Okay? Wow, what a thought. That thrills me. And the last thing, it says, verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in Jesus Christ, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. That's who Jesus is. He's the true God and he's eternal life. He is eternal life. And when we're in him, we have that eternal life. Wow. I'm thrilled about that. Okay? And then what does he say at the very end? The last verse, 21. Okay, you got it? Good. I'm going to go ahead and close with that. What are you laughing at, Heather? Go ahead and read it. I'm tired of reading. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's a good concept. Where are you? Okay. Well, we're in him. We weren't, and the world wasn't, and the world isn't, but now we are in him. And we have the promise of eternal life. Okay? So with that, I'll pray and we'll be on our way. Father, thank you for just being able to look at your word, to think about some of these things. Thank you that you've given us life and that we can know you, the true God, and that because of what Jesus did for us, we have eternal life. And we have these assurances in your word, these promises that we can just sink our teeth into and know because your word is true. I just pray that you would continue to help us to enjoy the day, to think about these things, and we pray these things in Jesus' name.